for your own safety.
You're not going crazy, Arthur. You're going sane in a crazy world.
Good news, everyone. I'm sending you on an extremely controversial mission.
Controversial?
Oh my, no.
You don't have a reflection.
Are you a vampire?
Am I a vampire?
It certainly is not every day that a man attains the exalted position of temporary honorary colonel. I thank you.
Welcome to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, the mostly weekly podcast by the Court of Nerds that brings news, reviews, and topics from the world of geekdom. The views expressed in this podcast are solely that of Kevin and not that of the Court of Nerds at large, and is meant for entertainment purposes only. Now your host for this misadventure, Mr. Sledge.
Welcome to episode 21 of Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood, the podcast that gives you maximum sledge. I'm Kevin from the Court of Nerds, and I'm proud to announce the new location of one of my favorite sponsors, Lord Fauntleroy's Bag of Holding and Marshmallow Emporium. Are you tired of having to lug around your epic war gear every time you want to adventure in another reality? Is extra-dimensional travel wreaking havoc on your old satchels, causing their contents to suddenly transmortify into talking dinnerware? Are you hungry for some sugary snacks? Come on down to Lord Fauntleroy's Bag of Holding and Marshmallow Emporium. Chances are we have a location in a fantasy world you operate in. We specialize in the most luxurious fur-lined briefcases to our most basic of gnome-stitched rucksacks. Having trouble bringing your +2 Vorpal Sword to Windhelm? Can't figure out the right way to smuggle a vampiric dagger into Hobbiton. Our paradox-negating weaving allows cross-universe item swaps with ease. Try our s'mores! So next time you find yourself in Skyrim or Middle-earth, come on down to Lord Fauntleroy's newest locations next to the Winking Skeever in Solitude and the White Tree Inn in Gondor. Free peeps with purchase.
And now, the news!
Am I going to have to back another crowdfunded game? News? Today, Wednesday, the 27th of September, Rooster Teeth launched a Kickstarter for the Ruby-themed board game called Combat Ready! Or, they were supposed to. As of this record, they haven't posted anything yet. So, I'll just read the press release. Quote, Ruby Combat Ready is a cooperative board game where 2 to 4 players join forces to take on infamous Ruby villains and slay monstrous Grimm. Ruby Combat Ready captures the flavor, feel, and excitement of battles fought during the series through fast-paced gameplay action and tough tactical decision-making. Created by Rooster Teeth and world-renowned developer Arcane Wonders, Ruby Combat Ready lands on Kickstarter Wednesday, September 27th. End quote. So, yeah, hopefully this is better than the rather bad Dynasty Warriors knockoff video game they made a while back. I mean, I love the world of Remnant that they created. I just wish they had some better ways to experience it. Other than, you know, YouTube Red.
Another victory for Team Junior!
Alright, you know, okay, Ren, I think you're onto something. It's just not sounding great anymore.
And I guess this makes sense, news. I bet you didn't know that before iOS 11 released, Apple had Siri use Bing to do all its internet searches. It made sense, after all. Google was looking to be the main competitor, so use the other guy's search engine. But now, Apple is using Google. Why? What's changed? Some might say they just decided to go with the better search engine. To those people, I say, what makes you think Apple would have made a mistake? No, it's no coincidence that this decision was made after Microsoft and Amazon agreed to integrate their digital assistants of Cortana and Alexa, which of course would use Bing. If Siri, Cortana, and Alexa all used Bing, then Microsoft could actually claim closer parity with Google in search engine use. Now, that will never happen. This is a money game, and everyone is seeking ad revenue. And when we let our digital assistants search for things for us, then whoever controls where they look stands to gain a lot of income. I'm not for certain, but based on Bixby's design and interface, I'm sure Samsung uses Yahoo.
Oh, that was
was close.
We lost Captain Sky. He gave his life for the uprising.
Yeah. Really makes you think, huh, Morty? We should never take things for granted.
What?
I'm just saying, life's short. We shouldn't take things for granted.
Are you saying granite?
Well, yeah.
It's granted, with a D. Take things for granted. Did you actually think it was... Jesus Christ, Rick. What are you, a boulder, a rock person? How long have you been saying that wrong?
Oh, you like that, huh? I bet that really blows your mind.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of great.
You want me to erase it?
What? You can do that?
In This Will Have to Do Until Shadow of War Releases, 343 Studios just released their newest DLC for Halo Wars 2 called Awaking the Nightmare. The first DLC they released was a bit light with only a few missions, but had a good amount of added leader content. This release actually feels more like a legitimate campaign extension. It gives several more missions, and is focused upon two Brute Generals who operate under Atriox's command. I won't ruin the storyline, but as the title suggests, the Flood is back. And damn it, is it hard! I mean, I usually play on Heroic difficulty, but I had to drop it to Normal to pass a couple of missions. The new DLC also gives you a new multiplayer and skirmish maps, as well as two new leaders. Which, for $19.99, I guess isn't that bad. I rate this add-on 8.5 out of 10 tentacle swipes. Now I just have to make this last until October 10th.
Man, we let those dumb bugs out to the middle of nowhere to keep them from getting their filthy claws on Earth. But we stumbled onto something they're so hot for that they're scrambling over each other to get it. Well, I don't care if it's God's own anti-son-of-a-bitch machine or a giant hula hoop. We're not going to let them have it. What we will let them have is a belly full of lead and a pool of their own blood to drown in. Am I right, Marines?
Sir, yes, sir.
Damn right I am. Now move it out.
And I told you that this was happening again, and it just got confirmed news slash rant. The trademark and licensed Borg that currently calls itself Atari continues to push ahead with the Atari Box project. And after being teased in July, the device has begun to take shape. Fans and press alike may have expected a low-priced retro gaming living room device. Well, since they're all the rage, thanks Nintendo. And it looks like a tiny restyled Atari 2600. But Tuesday's news suggests something a little bit more ambitious. The spec sheet, as announced, is still pretty vague, but Atari confirmed a few notable things, starting with a price point between $250 and $300, in exchange for costing roughly as much as a Nintendo Switch, Xbox One S, or PlayStation 4. The Atari Box will come packed with a AMD customized processor with Radeon graphics technology, end quote. Additionally, this will not be an Android system. Instead, the Atari Box will run Linux, quote, with a customized, easy-to-use interface, end quote. As previously announced, the system will include an SD card support, an HDMI port, four USB ports, and an Ethernet port. It will launch with at least two aesthetic options, plastic and wood-paneled, which they say is actual wood. The company has yet to show off any additional hardware, particularly retro-styled controllers, that might come with the Atari Box. Atari has already begun bragging about Atari Box's inherently open nature, advertising that the system will let users customize the OS, enjoy a full PC experience, and access other digital game and software storefronts. Most TV devices have closed systems and content stores, Atari's Tuesday announcement says. Linux will let us be more open, end quote. The system will be preloaded with, quote, tons of classic Atari retro games, end quote. Classic and retro, oh boy. And it will also be compatible with, quote, current titles from a range of studios, end quote. We'll have to wait for more info on both camps of games, along with any sense of whether Atari will deliver those by way of its own digital download storefront, and whether other devices will be able to access that storefront as well. In terms of other storefronts, Atari points to those digital shops must be compatible with both the OS and the hardware. So it remains to be seen whether the Linux-friendly shop Steam will actually work on Atari Box. Should that be the case, however, this would be essentially the highest-profile Steam machine launched since Valve hardware push fizzled out. AMD has not been a major player in the budget-minded living room box chipset market. This, however, is a price point it is familiar with, as a supplier of the CPU-GPU combo solutions for similarly priced consoles that launched all the way back in 2013. Consumers probably won't be lurking out with Atari purchasing chips on a massive scale, especially as the Atari Box team teases a crowdfunding campaign coming this fall on Indiegogo. Unless Atari has a surprise in terms of chipset, the company may have a ways to go to convince buyers that this product's mix of open software, custom UI, preloaded Atari games, and Atari 2600 base design is somehow a better combination of value, design, and power than the Raspberry Pi 3 system, if it ever makes production, of course. Then again, maybe Atari is just banking on retro computing fans paying top dollar to snap up this sleek take on an old 2600 design. Or at least its wood-paneled variant. To all of this I say, enough already! I know I have said this 100 times, but stop pushing this fad. I love retro games. I still might play a few of them on occasion, but I play them with a modern controller or an ergonomic mouse and keyboard. Atari is being somewhat smart here by making something that is so customizable that people like me might want to mess around with it on the hardware and OS end. And if it is really a true Steam machine, then you might have sold me. But I doubt that most people care about that or will utilize it. I mean, what a great selling point to all the hipsters needing an entertainment center goo-gaw to talk about with their friends. Did you know, Chad, I slightly adjusted my user interface because I'm a proficient at spaghetti logic. Ha 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 ha! Isn't Unix-based systems the best? No, most people will play Joust for a week and never play it again until they have a party and people will want to try it out. After a year, you will forget you own this hunk of plastic, I mean wood, and you will be looking forward to the PlayStation 5. Here's a better idea, video game companies. Make augmented reality work better, that has more potential to make you more money and change the world while doing it.
Oh, this place is the best. It's got beer, games, prizes, and you can never tell what time it is.
You sold a gun to a murderer so you could play video games?
Yeah, sure. I mean, if you spend all day shuffling words around, you can make anything sound bad, Morty.
That's all I have for this week's Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. Stay tuned into this RSS feed for the after party, where I break down the promise of quantum computing. Or don't. It's like it doesn't exist if you don't listen. I'm Kevin from the Court of Nerd saying, may all your dreams come true, said someone who didn't think about the implications of their last statement. Bye!